You're listening to Mix Comic Podcast.
Your host, Mick.
All right, welcome to the podcast. I'm Mick. Today is July. This is not July 23rd. That was what we were going to record the other day. This is July 25th. And I cover the main Superman books that I read at least once a month if I can. It's been a while. But I got my buddy Redbeard here with me.
Hey.
Today we're going to cover Superman number 39. Written by John Romita. No, not written by John Romita, but written by Jeff Johns and drawn by John Romita. And we're also going to do something different and cover Superman 40, but we'll get to that in a second. Anyways, so I promised I would talk about what kind of stopped me in my schedule. And I'd put a little PDF or whatever out there for people to read just to let everybody know what happened. But my brother-in-law back in March had a pretty nasty wreck when he was merging on from one interstate to another. They were doing a lot of construction there, and he hit one of those side rails. It's over there where 40 goes to 430.
Oh yeah.
Going he was coming from the east side, I guess Conway side, and he hit that rail and ended up flipping that thing, I think, three times, and he was ejected out of the front of the vehicle. He wasn't wearing a safety belt or anything.
Ouch.
Yeah, and he broke his back, broke his hip, and busted up his face. I mean, his face is all scarred now. And just so everybody knows, I mean, he's okay now, but he was in the hospital for about a month. He was asleep for a week, and for the first couple of days, they kept him under, but then they took the medicine out, and he was still didn't wake up for like 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
So which, he was
which,
pretty
which
rough.
Which hospital was he at?
He was over at Baptist Health.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was busted up. But anyways, he came home, and people, you know, took really good care of him, and now he's getting around, he's walking, he's still got the back brace on, because he had to have surgery and all kinds of junk to fix that. They ended up not doing any surgery on the hip. They're just letting that heal naturally.
Oh, what? If that's a possibility, then that's way better for the long run.
Yeah, really. But the thing was, like when he was in physical therapy, they were teaching him, you know, don't walk with a limp. Because if you start walking with a limp, then you can't get away from it or something like that. I'd never heard that before.
Wow.
So yeah, he's like, they're just like, fight through the pain of a broken hip and keep walking with that cane.
Gosh.
So, but it's been a few months now, so he's at this point where he can take the brace off for a little bit of time, try to get away from it, and then here in a couple weeks he's going to be off of it permanently. So that's really good, because he went from, you know, wheelchair to walker to cane, and now he's starting to be able to get around again.
Wow. Yeah, the hip thing is no joke. We have a friend of ours that he had to get a piece of his replaced, and he developed an infection, and then another time his body rejected the material they used, and then, I mean, it's just a non-ending freaking cycle of bad things happening.
Oh yeah, I can definitely see how it's probably a good thing he didn't have that surgery then, based on what you're saying.
Yeah, it was nasty, but he's doing a lot better now.
But, I mean, that was the bad news that put me off. But other than that, we've just had a pretty busy few months. I've had a busy summer. I know you have, too.
Yes. It's been insane, traveling and everything else. So
yeah, we could have snuck in a recording session. But, I mean, you were studying for certifications and going to California.
Yep.
It's beautiful San Diego. I feel so bad for you having to be someplace like that.
Wow, I couldn't believe how nice it was.
Oh my gosh, it was in the 70s there, and then here in Arkansas, it was like 90s somethings. I mean,
it got up to 75 one day, and they called it a heat wave. it was ridiculous.
How does that work? I don't get it, man.
it's that mountain range and then the cold water there, I guess. I don't know. It's like one of the most southern cities in freaking California, and it's nice.
It's way closer to the equator than, you know, L.A., and L.A.'s a desert, freaking almost wasteland of heat.
Yeah. I don't know what... I've never looked it up. There's a science behind it, but...
Yeah, I haven't either. This is going to keep the mystery going. But, okay, so back to the comics. I was talking to John Wilson about his process, because he started up his new 52, or restarted his new 52 Superman show, which I love. It's one of my favorite podcasts out there. And I asked him about his process and his notes, and he told me he used to take, like, detailed notes before his shows, you know, and, like, kind of like, I guess, how I do. I'm almost, you know, everything I say is prompted by some kind of note that I've written. But now he just sits down with the books and starts recording.
So he's read through them first.
He's read through them first, and then...
He just flips through the book as he podcasts about it?
I guess so. And I meant to ask him if he does that with his synopsis, too, because I'm going to try that. So after we cover Superman 39, we'll go to Superman 40. I'll kind of talk through the synopsis a little bit, and then we'll just go back through and talk through it, talk through the art, talk through the story, and see how that goes. And then that's something we do. I've really been wanting to talk, like, little 5-minute, 10-minute shows and other stuff I'm reading. I might start doing that.
Well, if this works out well, we may have to do that with the Back to the Future short series.
Definitely. Yeah.
Mrs. Redbeard would even get in on that one.
Oh, super. Yeah. So Back to the Future, they have, I think, a 4-issue run coming up later this year. And I don't know. We were just looking at some of the variant covers and on Twitter and posting them back and forth. They look really freaking cool.
Yes.
And of course, anybody that knows me knows I love Back to the Future. Same with you.
Oh, yeah. That's it. It's one of my favorite. Oh, speaking of, have you watched Rick and Morty yet?
No, I've not.
Okay, you don't have any little ears around this weekend, so this would be a perfect time to watch an episode.
I do. They'll be back here this afternoon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. May have to wear headphones.
Maybe. And
it's got some very reminiscent ties to Back to the Future.
Does it? Okay, yeah. Okay, see, even if it doesn't, I'm going to be watching it, looking for it. So, spoiler warning, quick spoiler warning, 39 and 40 of the Superman series will be spoiled if you haven't read them and you want to. I'd go check this out before we're listening on. I don't have any corrections listed here for the last show. It's been a while since I recorded. I can't remember what I got wrong because I've re-listened to it and thought, oh, no, that didn't happen. But as always, if you have any corrections for me, please send them in. And I'll take them and put them into the podcast. That's mickginger0@gmail.com. MICKGINGER0. And I did get an iTunes review posted. I took these notes back in March or April when I was getting ready to record again. And this one's from Ollie, 1974. He gave me 4 stars and it says, awesome. I am liking the podcast very much. Can't wait to hear more. I have caught up with all the episodes. Thank you, Ollie. Appreciate you going out there and doing that for me. Now on to the synopsis. Anything more from you for intro bits or anything?
No.
Oh, anybody that listens to this that also listens to our We Are Live stuff or We Are Live itself, the Kickstarter was successful. They had a $50,000 Kickstarter out there.
Woohoo!
Yes, and they met their goals. They got the actors in. They've already recorded it all except for the little bits of perks you could have bought in the Kickstarter if you wanted to be on the show. So that's all in the can, and they're going to be editing it all together. Last I heard, they were guessing they would have the show out in October for people that did the Kickstarter.
Cool.
So that's something to look forward to.
And I've already been gathering people's contact information for interviews.
Oh, very well. Yes. What's his, let's see. My buddy David, he just started listening yesterday. He was looking for some podcast recommendations. I told him, you got to listen to We're Alive. He wrote back. He said, I'm hooked on We're Alive just a couple hours later. And he was just starting chapter 2.
That's so awesome.
That is awesome. All right, so Superman 39, written by Jeff Johns. John Romita Jr. is the penciler. Claus Jansen inked this issue. Laura Martin, colorist. Saul Cipriano, lettering. Romita and Jansen with Martin on the cover. Romita, Lee Motor, Nathan Fairbairn did the variant covers. Ricky Purdon, associate editor. Eddie Braganza, group editor. Bobby Chase, executive editor. And Superman created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. This episode, or this comic, was titled 24 Hours. In Kansas City, a woman named Janet delivers a package into a mailbox and calls back to her employer to report on her activities. Meanwhile, in Metropolis, Clark Kent has just revealed to his friend Jimmy Olsen that he and Superman are one and the same. Jimmy doubts it, but Clark insists that it's true. Only he's lost his powers for the time being, and he's had to get a new suit. His ability to release a flare of solar energy had destroyed the old one and depleted his strength. As though he expects to recharge soon, he worries that the new ability is dangerous. In the meantime, as a human, Clark is actually feeling cold for once. He has to use his supervision to see the air density and determine how to dress appropriately to fool others. While walking through the park, he and Jimmy spot a kid trying to get a stuck kite in a tree, but he seems like he'll fall. Hurriedly, Clark leaps out to catch him and injures his arm. Though he's okay, Jimmy warns him that he has to be careful today, noting that they'll be late for their staff meeting at the Daily Planet if they don't hurry.
Being late for things is probably foreign to him.
Oh yeah. They end up late anyway, but it turns out the meeting is only to welcome Clark back to the team and to congratulate him on his success with the Ulysses story. Perry is interrupted with breaking news of a gunman at large with a hostage. Without hesitation, Clark rushes off as Jimmy cries out, unable to remind him publicly that he isn't bulletproof. He follows as Lois gives chase, refusing to be edged out of yet another byline. When he and Lois arrive on the scene, Clark is nowhere to be found. Jimmy is surprised, though, when Superman appears behind the police line and tries to negotiate with the gunman. He approaches, and with no care for his likely injury, as Lois prods Jimmy to get the encounter recorded on camera, Superman promises that bullets are a waste against him and begs the man to surrender without hurting anyone. He can get away with less jail time if nobody gets hurt. Superman stands just inches from the muzzle of the man's gun, trembling in his hand. Trying to break the tension, the hostage promises his captor that Superman can be trusted and introduces himself. Softening, the gunman drops his weapon and gives his own name, which is Mick, releasing the hostage. As always, I get these synopsis from dc.wikia.com. And so, he didn't mention Mick there, so I had to throw that in. Superman takes his hand and shakes it, and the situation is resolved. Afterwards, Jimmy catches up and warns that he could have been killed. Superman responds that he doesn't just stand in front of guns because he's bulletproof. He had no other choice. Sighing, he ducks into an alley, unsure how he's going to get out without revealing himself. Grinning, Jimmy points out that he won't have to. Clark is flying again. Clark is flying again, and in doing so, he has proved to Jimmy that he is really Superman. Superman and Jimmy have dinner on the roof of the Daily Planet, watching the sunset, and Clark admits that his super hearing allows him to enjoy the positive and familiar sounds of life for everyday people. It's not all pain and suffering. Having superpowers comes with positives and negatives. Jimmy wonders what it was like living as a human for a day. Clark has to admit it wasn't as different as he thought it would be. The next day at work, Clark finds a package on his desk, and upon opening it, discovers that it is a blank notebook with the Superman S on the cover. In another location, the man who had sent it promises that the future is yet unwritten, and Clark will come to know that soon enough. Which is a strange ending, but we'll talk about that when we get there. Okay, some thoughts on the cover, which is Jimmy in front of Superman while a man holds a gun towards them. I'm going to get some water real quick. Those the synopsises are pretty long. Thank you for listening to Audible. Superman 39. I know what they're trying to do. Since Superman doesn't have any powers in this issue, they're trying to show, you know, him hiding behind Jimmy or Jimmy jumping in front of him. But at the same time, it's just hard to believe that Superman would ever let anyone step in front of him to protect him from danger.
That was my thought, too.
Yeah. But, the art, as far as John Romita goes, it's pretty good. It's kind of weird. I mean, I like what they're doing. It's good. It grabs your eye. But when you think about, wait, Superman wouldn't hide behind Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm not too hip on that. That was my first thought, too. Plus, I don't know. For some reason, I don't like John Romita's drawing.
You're not alone. You're not alone.
His right hand looks stupid. The bodies look too big for their legs. I don't know. It drives me nuts.
Right. Yes. Yeah, okay, so we've got some variant covers to look at. I think you should be able to see these. Can you see that?
Yeah, with the Harley Quinn.
Yeah, the Harley Quinn variant cover. Okay, let me just read the notes I wrote when I made these back in March. Harley Quinn variant is easily a 1. I don't really like anything about it. Suit looks off. She's checking out his bicep, and it's just not my favorite. Okay, I went back and looked at it today for the first time since then, and I wrote, okay, it's been a while since I wrote this. I checked it out again before recording, and it's okay. Not nearly as bad as I said before.
I think it's funny the way he's like, what is she doing?
Yeah, see, I wasn't taking it for comedic. I was just being too serious with it, I think. And it's a funny cover. I like it. It's fine. Okay, here's the Shane Davis variant. Shane Davis does the art for the Superman Earth 1 series. They just come out as like graphic novels. They aren't released, and then, you know, 6 comics put into a trade paperback. It's just I don't know how many pages, but 80 to 100-ish, maybe 120 page little hardcover or softcover.
So I have to ask some questions about this one, because
yeah,
I'm ignorant.
Oh, well, let me describe it real quick. It's just Superman fighting a Red Lantern.
Okay, I was going to ask, because I thought the logo looked very Green Lantern.
Yeah, it's some point in the past. I'm not sure the exact history of it. All the different colors, like, you know, green is, you can control it with willpower.
Right.
There was all these other colors, like the red is rage. Red is rage, blue is hope, yellow is fear. Which they keep trying to give Batman a yellow ring because, you know, he inspires fear or whatever, I guess, or instills fear. And then, like, orange is avarice, which I never knew what that word was, but it's greed or something. I think it's greed. And there's only one guy that has that named Larflees or something like that. And he's funny. He's just really freaking greedy. But so, yeah, it's just a picture of Shane Davis as Superman, which looks freaking awesome. Like the suit,
yes,
the belt looks kind of weird, but everything else, Shane Davis's art is amazing.
He's a very delicate Superman with desires for lace.
But I mean, his hair, you can see like almost individual hairs. It's just so cool.
That is, yeah, I really like the way he drew the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't say anything bad about this. The belt looks weird. But that might be the Superman Earth 1 belt. I'm not sure. I've only read the first volume. I need to read more of them, which we will cover in the DC Essentials.
Yeah, that's really cool looking.
Yeah, and yeah, all his art looks like that. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Let's see. Yeah, he's wearing the old armored suit, which was just destroyed. And it's great to see him do his take on the old armored suit. Let's see what we got.
Superman is ripped.
Yeah. Shield's big. The S-Shield, that looks pretty sweet. And there's a different angle to the spit curl, but it looks awesome. And I haven't even put the other one on here. It's just another one of Superman flying in his suit. And in the new suit that Romita has for him, which, you know, you can tell it covers up his little knuckles and stuff. It just doesn't do it for me. Sorry. If John Romita listened to this, I was thinking about this. I was taking notes. I was like, if John Romita listens, which I know he doesn't, never will, I was just thinking how bad I would feel. Because I bass on his stuff.
He's somewhere in a room listening to this right now going, but I do listen.
Dude, listen. No. And if he does, I mean, I think his art is really, I think he has excellent art, of course. He works for freaking comic book companies. I just don't think it fits Superman. I know he's done a Spider-Man run before, and I could see that. And then he had.
Well, I can definitely see Spider-Man when it comes to Jimmy.
Yeah. And then he did the Kick-A series.
Oh, really?
And that's him and, Mark Miller? I forget who writes it. But yeah, I mean, he does. There's been 3 different volumes of that, and he's done all of them. And that's, to me, when I see that, that's what I think. When I see his art, that's what I think of. And that the style works well there. It just for some reason, I picture something more like Shane Davis over here when I'm reading Superman.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, I didn't know he did the
yeah,
the kick series.
The kick kicking A.
That's one that's on my to-do list to read. I really like the way the movies turned out, even though it has Nicolas Cage in it. I mean, it's amazing.
That makes me want to watch it even more. It's just so funny. I haven't seen it yet.
I'm just blown away. I mean, while the wife and kids were going down to Texas, mm-hmm. I was just flipping through Netflix, and I was like, every other action movie in here has Nicolas Cage in it. I mean, there's so many.
How am I not in this movie? Love that. You've got a superhero that loses his powers? He takes on a gunman? He gets a book with nothing in it, and somebody says the future's unwritten? We got one question for you. How am I not in this movie?
If Nicolas Cage ever plays Superman, I'm out.
Hold up. You don't know?
No.
And you remember the Tim Burton Batman movies?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They had originally cast him for it, but they never did anything with it.
But they did. And the movie just came out called The Death of Superman Lives.
Nuh-uh.
Yes. It's got little shorts of him in the suit for screen testing, and it is wild, man.
Did he do well in it? Because I see some movies where he just doesn't try.
Very Tim Burton and very Nicolas Cage 90s weird looking.
So the movie's out?
No. The documentary called The Death of Superman Lives is out, and it's got Kevin Smith in it because he did one of the original scripts for it.
Well, that, yeah.
I've not seen it, but I want to.
Let me make a distinction. There's Nicolas Cage making money because whoever's making the movie doesn't care. And then there's Nicolas Cage that actually does some decent stuff every once in a while.
Yeah.
What?
Hold on, I'm trying to bring it up.
Wow. I do like the idea of Tim Burton doing anything.
I don't. I mean, I like Tim Burton doing a lot of stuff, but for Superman, I got the John Romita feeling. Why such a tiny still?
Wow. He looks terrible.
He does. He looks awful.
Hey, guys. I'm here for the cosplay.
He's got Superman. Long hair and this weird molded suit.
Yeah. That looks pretty funny.
Okay, I gotta watch that later. Oh,
how
boy.
Long, what's on Netflix? I don't know.
We got just enough footage to release a Nicolas Cage quality movie.
Just all green screen with him in that one picture, and they're just moving him through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking clips from other movies that he's, you know, audio clips and putting it together.
Got it. Steal the Declaration of Independence.
For the bees.
Why can't I think of any Nicolas Cage quotes at the time? I don't know.
Oh, there's too many?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's going on here?
Okay, so we've got the Oz henchman dropping off a package. A homeless woman drops off a package for Oz that's mailed to Clark. And then a hot meal is waiting for her since he did that. And we're just brought back to this cult of Oz. Just a reminder they're here, and I'm wondering where it's going to go since we're going to get a new writer after, with the next issue is written by John Romita, but after that we get a new writer on Superman, so I wonder where we're going with this. And this is the first time in a long time I've seen a payphone.
Yeah. One pops up every now and then.
Also, what's the going rate on calling a space station?
A hot meal.
Just slide that hot meal in this little coin piece here. Yep, push it through.
She probably called collect.
Right. Incoming call from Earth.
Do you accept these changes?
This is Miss Janet.
Charges.
Do you accept charges? Incoming call from, what is it? The package is in the mail.
Oh, yeah, you get in your message in that short stint.
Yeah. Incoming call from, need a ride home from Six Flags. That's, I think I actually had to do that.
I've done that before.
All right.
Until I found the numbers to use to get free phone calls.
Exactly.
And a few of the old payphones that you could play the tones on from the, like, the Blue Box or, yeah, Blue Box.
Oh, you're a phone freaking?
Yeah.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Well, Captain Crunch to the rescue.
Oh, yeah. Because right. Back then I couldn't afford 10 cents.
Well, it was 25 cents everywhere else. When I came to Arkansas and it was 10 cents for a payphone, I thought I would hit the jackpot, man. I was like, man, I could call for 10 cents anytime. Always got 10 cents.
So many phone calls.
Yes. Can't wait to go hang out on the shady corner. Okay, so, man, Superman looks rough in this first shot we see of him. Everything, especially the face.
Yeah, he does.
It's like, are you beat up pretty bad?
It's like he's got a soft spot in his head and he got crushed down.
I'm sorry, John Romita. Jimmy's reaction is great, though. He's so enthused, and he wants to start doing all the cool super stuff right now with his friend. And so we get to the next page, and he's just... Okay, yeah, this is his reaction.
Don't worry. When I get my powers back, I'm going to erase your mind.
No, I'm just kidding. Totally can't do that. Like, what? And this little piece about his glasses changing the shape and color of his eyes, that's something. I mean, I guess that helps a little bit with the flimsy disguise.
Yeah.
they talk a little bit about the super flare, and Jimmy's not so sure that he's Superman anymore.
I always envision that Superman constantly puts out some kind of microwave almost type signal
mm-hmm.
while he's Clark Kent to make everybody kind of dumb around him.
Yeah.
And that's how he keeps his illusion going.
Whenever they rebooted him back in 86 for the post-crisis Superman, John Byrne, any time that he was as Superman, he was always vibrating his face so you couldn't get a good picture of it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. And they eventually got away from that, but still, for the short time they did it, I'm like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yes. I enjoy that one.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to have some little takeaways. They go through the park and all that. He's got a day without power. He's cold. He has to use his microscopic vision to see the air density to dress appropriately. So he can't feel cold. I've never thought that he couldn't feel cold. I just thought he would know it's cold and feel it, but it wouldn't hurt him. But I guess to feel it, you would have to... Would have to bother you at some point.
It's an inconvenient truth.
Yes. So I get the kite in the park and the tree, which I thought there was going to be something with these freaking weird eyes on this kite. Like Mr. What? Oz is watching you.
Yeah, what is up with that?
You ever seen a kite like that?
It was like a butterfly or, you know, like animals or something, but not creepy human eyes on there.
Right. Maybe Grant Morrison. Maybe this is Grant Morrison's kite. So we get, you know, Clark's going to save this kid falling out of the tree and scrape himself up a little bit. And I had a note here. It rips through his jacket right here and it exposes, you know, his skin, which is bloody. And I was just kind of wondering, where is his suit?
Yeah.
Because his old suit, at least in the New 52... It was like he wore a shield on his chest, and whenever he wanted to activate it, it would build around him. And now he's got this just regular cloth suit. So I don't know where he keeps it.
In a fanny pack.
And why is it not... And say it is here, why isn't it messed up later on when he's wearing it? But anyways, it's a comic book.
Yes.
So we're back at the Daily Planet. And Lois gives a little playful jab with him about him not getting on the front page anymore. Clark gets a paper cut, and Steve Lombard, who's always a jerk, he's even in the movie Man of Steel, which was kind of funny. He was the guy that... You watched House of Cards?
No.
Well, anyways, he's the guy that's with Perry as they're running through the city. But he's like, oh, so somebody call 911? Because Clark's like licking his finger, he got a paper cut. I'm like, what's wrong there, Clarky? And then someone breaks in about a gunman in a hostage situation. Which is this part right here. And this, we were going to talk about this part right here. There's old, that's Perry White, you know, editor of the Daily Planet. There's a theory out there, and I just kind of wanted to talk about it a little bit. And I've heard it from other podcasters, and a lot of the super fan listeners that are listening, they probably heard it from Michael Bailey or a lot of other people. But I want to talk about it with you and get your take on it. Perry White is, he's a great reporter, great editor, boss in person. He's rough, but he truly cares about his people, and he does the news with truth and integrity. And I almost went Ron Burgundy there for a second. Truth and integrity. I was, what, put here for one reason, to read the news. But so the theory is that Perry White knows Clark is Superman, but doesn't ever let on. He knows Clark pretty well. He knows his heart. He can read people.
Yet
he never lets on that he knows. And so reading this theory, or reading this scene with this theory in mind, raises some questions. Like, say he does know. Just how clever is he? Because if he knows Superman, Clark's Superman, and he's running after him, why would he really be that worried? But if he does know, and he knows, and he somehow figured out that Clark doesn't have powers, like, did he notice that he got a paper cut? And he's like, oh man, Superman, Clark here as Superman is getting hurt. Something's wrong. And that's why I'm kind of freaking out right now. Or is it just him not knowing?
Is someone else running with him?
Yeah, Lois does run with him.
Yeah, that could explain it.
Yeah, that totally can.
Running loose with it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I just like how concerned he is here. He wants a story, but he doesn't want his people dead. Which takes us to the hostage situation. And I like this little silhouetted shot up here. I'm going to try to call out the places that I really like, since I'm really talking about the ones I don't like often.
So this suit has a turtleneck.
No, it has a high collar.
Popping the collar.
Turtlenecks don't come down at the Adam's apple.
It's a V-cut turtleneck.
He doesn't want to be too revealing.
Very modest.
Yeah, the other suit had a high collar. But this, it looks really weird right here, especially with the shading job. As I'm saying, I'm trying to call out all the good stuff. You just go. So this new suit that John Romita himself designed.
You know, I thought Mick was gonna stop talking to me when I started ripping on Batman.
The new Batman v Superman trailer.
And now I'm in here ripping on Superman again.
No. It's okay. You're not just randomly saying things to bust on Ben Affleck here. We're actually trying to be critical of something. It's fine.
Although I have to give Mrs. Redbeard more credit for the cast Iron Man.
Oh, was that hers?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. So they arrive. There's police and SWAT types all around. Lois says, I don't see Clark. To which Jimmy replies, good. Because he's worried about his buddy. When you hear from behind them, Superman. And he approaches. Yeah, he approaches the gunman like Superman normally would, even when the weapon is turned on him. When Superman has no powers and he walks towards the gunman, to me this is like in the movie when the music stops and everything is really quiet, you know, because you're just... It's building the tension. You want to know what's going to happen and all that.
What's the last line say? I can't read that.
He says, what are you doing? He's like whispering to his friend. Like, why are you out there in front of the gun?
Oh.
As he takes the video or pictures with his smartphone. So, I'm reading my notes that I wrote a while ago. It didn't make sense. Anyways, he talks the gunman down. And his presence, even just his presence there, inspires the hostage to speak. This is right about cheer. He's like, hey, man, my name's Bob. What's yours?
Dang it, Bobby.
But I like the frame of the police taking the hostage to safety, but Superman still facing Mick. Like, once he lets the dude go, Superman, see right here, Superman doesn't even turn. Like, the hostage is safe. But he actually still, he cares about Mick. He knows I'm thinking maybe he knows, you know, things aren't going well for this guy. Obviously, he's robbing people.
See, John Romita does listen. He made you a criminal.
Dang it. Oh, I didn't even put that together. He does. Even some of the shots even kind of look like me. Maybe a little darker eyes right there.
Yeah. A little emaciated.
It's okay, Mick. Thanks, Superman. Yep. Grabs his hand and yanks him over to the police. But yeah, I don't know. This scene, this whole book was really good for me as far as the Superman story goes. But this scene in particular stood out. I don't know. Something about Hoskins going past him right there.
I like that.
Him still staying, talking to the guy. Like, hey, man. And I guess the threat hadn't passed yet. He still has the gun. But to me, it was more like him trying to just deal with this guy and talk to this guy. The poor little Mick's even sorry. I'm sorry, Superman. Don't even have any bullets. I'm too poor. I need some food. I'm robbing people.
My kids are still going to starve tonight, but I feel better about myself.
Yeah. That's awful. Maybe he's been robbing guys for shirts. Because he's wearing, like, he's got two shirts on and two jackets or something. Or the shading on the jacket. Yeah, it is cold. Didn't have this Superman super skin. Okay. So then Jimmy and Superman leave the scene. And we have a neat little line here about Superman says, "You think I only step in front of guns because I'm bulletproof?" And I had to stop and think about that one a little bit. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, kind of. Why else would you step in front of a gun? I guess if you're a hero.
How does Batman do this?
Yeah, he's trying to get away. He's like, how does Batman get away? You know, there's reporters everywhere.
Oh, that's funny.
It's like, don't think you need to worry about that. And you know what? I'm going to turn the page right here, and the next scene is actually pretty good art.
Okay, yeah.
And Jimmy was
hands are proportionate and everything.
Legs a little skinny, but we're going to ignore that.
Yeah, just
enjoy the lighting. The sun's hitting him.
His butt fell off.
It did.
I didn't even notice all that until you said something, because I was looking at the where you're drawn into, and I'm looking at the torso and him, his face looking down, like, woo, I can fly. And then, yeah.
Yeah, the boots look good.
His butt fell off.
Jimmy looks good. Well, look at Jimmy. I mean, ignore Superman. I'm covering him up right now. Jimmy looks great. Okay.
Jimmy's really short.
Now that I'm looking at just Jimmy,
look at his, big fist.
Look at his hand. Oh, my, yeah. His
it's huge.
His hand is so big. Why?
Sorry, John.
John, you draw really well.
Better than I can.
Way better. Oh, but I should totally try to redraw this whole issue. It would be awful. Oh, man.
But by the time you're done, you could be just as good as John Romita.
I have a job with DC Comics. Okay, yeah. So really good page. Really good page. Even the close-up on Jimmy's pretty good here. He finally gets that confirmation that, yeah, he really is Superman.
I knew it.
Why do you have to say it like that? I knew it. I knew it the whole time. So, this we're here to my favorite scene in the whole book. We're on the rooftop. Look, we have a little Daily Planet eclipse. I'm just not noticing that. Can you see my cursor when I go over the window?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it's right here.
There's a star object behind both of it, though. Like, the up above it, too. There's a little light coming on the top of it.
That's what I was saying. I saw the eclipse up here in the Daily Planet, but it's this not. Is like, it's just a reflection, I guess.
Oh, holy crap, we're on Tatooine.
We're on. It is. The sun's down there by the building on the right. And then there's another tiny baby sun above the Daily Planet.
Nice.
That's now the Daily Solar System. Oh, sorry, coffee got stuck.
That's some thick coffee.
Daily Solar System. Okay. Didn't get stuck.
You're doing it wrong.
All right, so we got Jimmy and Superman just a couple pals hanging out, eating a hot dog, which I really enjoyed this conversation they're having here. How I can hear all the stuff. And it was good for them to throw in the good stuff, because normally you just think Superman hearing, help, and, oh no, I'm being beaten up, and can somebody get some toilet paper, and stuff like that. But he hears the good stuff, too. Though he mentions he tries to respect privacy, but there's so many noises of that similar nature that he hears a lot of them. And he missed them. That's cute. That's kind of sweet. We got Lois doing her little type, tap, tap, tap. I guess they're saying he can hear that even.
She's got a really lousy keyboard.
She does. It's an audio drama now. Ew, and this is gross. He's eating the hot dog. And he was talking about how now that he has his powers back, he can taste every single ingredient.
Oh, no.
Not like the hot dogs we had for lunch. Some things are better. Some things taste better that way. Yeah. Surprised you didn't just drop that.
I could taste six different animals in this.
Go cook a cow with his laser vision. his heat vision.
Well, you can have steaks. He can cook a steak without killing a whole cow.
He's just going to slice off little pieces he wants. Didn't know his new suit has a little area for hypodermic needle with some numbing solution. He just kind of numbs him up and cauterizes after he cuts it out. Because, you know, his thumb is his thumbnail is hard and as hard as a diamond.
Oh, really?
Can cut through things. Yeah, he did surgery on Lois Lane back in, Action Comics, I don't know, earlier issues.
The dirtiest piece of the humanity.
I'm not sure it showed him, sterilizing it with his heat vision. He should have maybe done that.
Oh, man.
It's okay. It's just Kryptonian bacteria.
I've scratched so many things today.
Okay, so yeah, how to feel to be human for a day. To be honest, Jim, not as different as I thought it would. And then when I backed out to this one, if I didn't get goosebumps, I got virtual goosebumps. It's pretty cool, right? A couple friends having cheers. Superman's your buddy taking you up to the top of a building.
I love that his emotions didn't change when he went human.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't get greedy. He didn't... It just... He was the same person.
Right, I see what you're saying. Like, his powers were somehow part of what made him so good.
Right, he didn't... Whatever. It wasn't his superhero powers that made him a good person.
Yeah. That's a good point. I like that. And so, unfortunately, we have to turn the page from this good one to this weird one. The package. After all the ominous lead-up to this package being delivered, it's a blank notebook. To which the evil villain, Mr. Oz, narrates, "The future is unwritten, Clark, but you and your friends will see it soon enough." So, I don't know, did Geoff Johns only plan on doing, 9 issues, or however many, 7 issues? Yeah, 7 issues, and then be done with it? Or was this supposed to be something else?
I don't know.
And what's going to happen with Mr. Oz? Did he make Mr. Oz for the next writer? Like, hey, can you throw in Mr. Oz for me? We're going to do something with him.
So, this blank notebook with the Superman emblem on the front was worthy of a homeless person making a galactic phone call.
Yes.
Like, I'm a little confused by your message there, Oz. Yeah. I don't even know it's from you.
Exactly.
Like, obviously somebody knows my identity or... is a fan.
Right. And the only thing Clark says about it, besides what's this, is a blank notebook? All right. Who is Mr. Oz? We don't know. And that's the end.
Wow.
Little final thoughts. So we already talked about, where does he hide his suit now? We would have seen it underneath. That's curious. I'd like to see what they do with that. The Jimmy stuff in this issue is great, as I've said. And Jimmy acts... just like I'd hoped he would when he found out Superman, or Clark Kent was Superman. He didn't, mull it over or get dark and emotional about it. He was just like, cool, let's do some super stuff.
Yeah, I enjoyed that they didn't go, super fanboy or something with him.
Right, autograph.
But I think my favorite part, though, is that very ending piece, you know, that he's the same person if he were human.
Yeah, same here. And also, yeah, the visual paired with that of a couple buddies sitting on top of the world.
Yeah, we've done that on some cliffs.
I'm kind of glad they, yeah, we have. I'm kind of glad they didn't have a, and then now that you say that, it's going to make this even more weird. I'm kind of glad they didn't have the shot of him, like, carrying Superman like Lois. Or of him carrying Jimmy like Lois up to the top.
Yes.
It's like, buddy, this is kind of weird. Want to get on my shoulders? No.
This is very strange.
Now to my favorite lines of this one. I'll tell you what the runner-up was, because I had this one down as my favorite line until I went back through it. Whenever they showed up to the Daily Planet after being late, and Perry White's like, "You're late, Kent. And I don't remember inviting you, Olsen." And then Jimmy Olsen's like, I can go. He goes, "You're already in. Take a seat." But my favorite line, as we already talked about, or we mentioned it earlier, was whenever he said, "You think I only step in front of the guns because I'm bulletproof?" Question mark.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool. Which kind of led me to my thought for that final scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And now on to the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great. The good out of this issue, art and story. Jimmy's reaction. Seeing Clark be a hero without powers. Steve Lombard asking if someone could call 911 after Clark gets a paper cut.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
The top of digital page 12 with the lightly detailed silhouettes of Jimmy and Lois running towards the story. I really like that image. The bad, I didn't write too many bad things, but I would just say this weird reveal that was seems kind of off. The ugly, Superman's face and suit on the very first splash page. And the great, Superman and Jimmy having a hot dog on the roof of the Daily Planet, dangling their legs off the sides. You have anything to add to that?
No.
And also, I mean, the great, yeah, him being a hero and not being different as a human, that's good.
Right, that was my favorite takeaway. Yeah, the only, I mean, it left me confused with two things. Is that, you know, the suit being, or, you know, his clothes being ripped in the suit, where the suit at. And then the, I don't understand what Oz's objective is with this blank notebook, the Superman nimble. I mean, it seems like there's got to be more to it.
Right, that's, I was thinking, like, okay, so if Geoff Johns was planning on being here, and then already had sent this notebook, and then changed his mind about staying on the book, all of a sudden he's got this notebook in transit, and he's got to, you know, change the story, because maybe it said something else, and now he's like, well, now the future is unwritten, because I'm not going to be writing it.
Oh, yep, that probably nailed it.
I don't know, though, I haven't seen anything about it that said that Geoff Johns was going to stay on it. I wish he would have, honestly.
Wait, isn't John Romita supposed to start writing it?
He writes the next issue we're about to cover. And then there's another writer. I can't remember his last name, how to say it. But
huh.
Yeah, there's a new writer. So ratings. I gave the story 4.5. It's not the highest one I've given since I've started this podcast. It's close, and maybe it should be. It was a really good story. It's a good Superman story. It's so much different than this Ulysses line that we got before this, the Men of Steel,
mm-hmm.
where he was just, yeah, it was just strange. And then the art, I gave a 3, which I'm giving it a good 3. I mean, I think it was good enough. It's still John Romita, you know, not my favorite. And the cover, I gave a 3. It was better than last week's cover. Or last time's cover with Superman and Ulysses giving each other a rage hug.
Love you so much!
But, all right. So we'll take a short break and we'll be back with the next issue, Superman 40.
This is a job for Superman.
Up, Up, and Away, the weekly podcast dedicated to anything and everything Superman. Join me, Mari Benessi, as I explore every aspect of the Man of Steel's history, from comics and movies to TV, radio, and more. It's all here on Up, Up, and Away. more Up, Up, and Away, go to www.upupandaway.podomatic.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching Up, Up, and Away Podcast, and Mario can be contacted through Twitter at MarioFanOfSteel and through email at mvanessi94@yahoo.com. That's B as in boy, E-N-N-E-S-E. Up, Up, and Away is a proud member of the Superman Podcast Network.
And we're back. We've got Superman issue number 40. We're about to do a little read-through on. And first I'm going to do the synopsis, and then we'll come back and try to walk through it. And remember, this is going to be our coverage without a written synopsis and written notes. We're just going to kind of talk our way through the book.
I feel they're all shielding their eyes because he's getting naked again.
bring that back up again. Let me go to the credits page, because normally I start out with the credits. Okay, this time, John Romita Jr. is the writer and penciler. Claus Janson is the inker. Dean White, colorist. Travis Lanham, letterer. Covers by Romita Jr., Janson with White. Movie poster variant by Dave Johnson. Variant cover by Gary Frank and Alex Sinclair. Jeremy Bent and Andrew Marino, assistant editors. Eddie Braganza, editor. Superman created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Okay, so we start out, and it's in a mountain area in Outer Mongolia, when all of a sudden there's a blast from the top of one of the mountains, which leaves a little bit of a crater, and the Terminator, nope, that's Clark Kent.
Perfect.
Is laying in a hole, and then we can kind of see the Batwing in the background. Well, the Batman's coming up to give him a little gruff about having to pick him up and keep giving him little taxi cab rides every time he wants to try out the solar flare. Also tells him to get dressed before he sits down this time. Okay, so they're all back in the Justice League Watchtower, and they're trying to talk through what exactly Clark's doing. A little exposition for us to figure out what's going on. Whenever we find out that this, you know, had just kind of started up and he didn't know what was causing it, so he's trying to learn and how to get a hold of the trigger of this new power so he doesn't blow up a city, I guess, and also can use it when he wants to. So they go through a few different things that they talk about, and they want to talk about testing it. So they move on to a different part of the Watchtower, and they're not testing the solar flare yet, but they are testing to see how he's doing after a few hours, because, you know, normally it's about 24 hours before he gets his powers back. And they start kicking his butt, and I think Batman has like a Stinger missile or something, which is awful, really weird to shoot at a distance of like 5-10 feet.
And Wonder Woman, looks like he's loving it.
Yeah. Wonder Woman clocks him, and they decide that, yeah, he's back to being invulnerable. Let's see how quick he is. They go to drop.
Even invulnerable, Wonder Woman can still draw blood?
I guess so. He calls him his own invulnerable old self. I don't know. Either he's right there, 90%, 80-90%, or I don't know. She probably can. She is
pretty awesome.
She's on the same power level, generally, that he is. So if anybody could, she could. And then they're going to go about testing out the flare. And they talk through this a little bit. And also talk about harnessing his energy.
So I love taking his clothes off in this episode.
Yeah. So he's stripped down to his boxer briefs again. And he's releasing the heat vision from his eyes until it gets to, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know.
Sultry.
No, I was looking for
a balmy 98 degrees.
We made it to peak heat vision. He's there, and all of a sudden his arms get really long and he explodes. Which causes some pretty catastrophic damage to this area of the space station, and everybody shields their eyes, and Batman covers up with his arm to protect himself, and he's fine.
He's like, I promise I'll last longer next time.
I wasn't going to edit this episode too much. So anyways, he's in there, hurting and naked again.
It looks like he has suds on him right there.
He does look like he has suds. Some scrubbing bubbles. So anyways, they're talking about, oh, why don't we go ahead and go get a drink, since you don't have any powers and you like to eat. So they go and they get a little drink and they're talking, trying to talk through this thing. And Cyborg, unfortunately, can't join them because he's not human looking enough, I guess. So they're consuming some adult beverages and going about talking through some of this stuff. And Superman's kind of being too loud with the supery stuff as they're in their plain clothes. Whenever he, I guess, overdoes it because he oversleeps the next morning and he's got food all over his bed, he hears that there's...
This part blows my mind.
Yes. Whenever he, you see that he's just messed up and he's got to change into a Superman outfit and take off and jump out of this area to go tackle these three gunmen that are out there. When he can't fly, luckily he's not, you know, only just regular human like us. He can still jump and has a little bit of power. So he goes after these guys that are pretty much idiots, it looks like, who are paid by somebody to fill up power in their backpacks and use these new crazy guns. They're attacking a LexTech building. They make it in here to try to fill up their power whenever Superman shows up and starts to try to fight with them. But before he can get to them, they bring the building down on top of him, which hurts him a little bit in his current state. But either way, he still makes it out. He whips these guys up. People get some pictures of him, and he takes the guns off to go see Batman and Cyborg. Back at the Daily Planet, you can see it's all over the news that Superman was beaten and bloodied and jumped out of the area whenever Lois sees a bandaged Clark who's hurt in the same places that Superman looks like he was hurt. And she has a little bit of maybe a light bulb going off in this last picture when we get to be continued.
Dang it.
All right. So this cover, we've got the composition is Superman in the foreground facing the Justice League. We see his back, and he's about to let off another solar flare, and all of the League are covering their eyes. Wonder Woman, Batman, Flash, Cyborg, and Aquaman. What was it you said?
What business does Aquaman have in space?
Yeah. But yeah, I think you said there's... shielding their eyes more that his clothes his clothes are coming off again more than the solar flare.
Oh, man.
Okay, so he's going to Mongolia. At least he's not blowing up the U.S., I guess. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well,
his idea was.
It's like he's setting off a volcano.
It does look like that. When I first saw it, I thought he was like dropping from space to do something.
Yeah.
No, I think he's already on the ground and just letting loose.
Okay, hold on. Yep. Go back to that scene.
The very Terminator.
Yeah, the very trader. Terminator scene. It, hopefully, this
works. Is he starting an exotic dance? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's the theme song to heavy metal.
Oh, is
this,
it?
This scene looks just so much like that. It's pretty trippy looking.
Oh, okay. I've never seen it.
Oh, that requires you to be in a bubble and no kids around.
Okay.
We'll have to get together and watch that. It's definitely a must-see.
I remember seeing the animation ads, or the ads for it on, I think, MTV or something, and the animation didn't look interesting to me. So I just never got to see it.
It's very gritty and raw, but it's really good.
The story's good and all that?
It's funny. It's trippy.
Okay, cool. So Batman's showing up in this weird little Batwing that has brake lights for some reason.
And a gigantic... Yeah, if he were to ride down the road in this, I can't imagine that there would be anything left of it.
Right, yeah, it's a pretty cool little single thruster type design to it. But yeah, like how you talked about Batman's tiny cell phone.
He's very secure in his manhood. Little bitty cell phone. It looks like a thumb drive.
It does. It might be. He's just holding it for no reason.
Like, we really got to get this trend going. Keep getting bigger with our cell phones. It's like,
I hate it when I can't just talk to Superman from across the planet and he can hear me without using a phone. So, yeah, he's apparently, we learn here that Superman's been doing this all over the planet, practicing with this new thing.
Whoa, go back.
Yeah.
So this Batmobile has a stair coming out of it. So this thing's a lot bigger than it initially looks.
Yeah. It also looks like that The thing lowers right under the thruster. I can't really make out where that is.
Well, not only that.
I don't think we're supposed to think about it too much.
Well, how is he calling? I mean, if his clothes burned off, surely a cell phone would burn up too.
Maybe it's like this to a speaker outside of it.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Go back. Yeah, I think you're, well.
It's coming out of the back of the bat wing.
Yep. It's speakers.
Like that makes sense. Has little bat ears on it too. So, meanwhile, back at the Justice League Watchtower, looking like the old school versions of space stations that Space Station Art used to see.
It's pretty awesome.
I think that's what you were saying earlier.
Yeah. So it rotates to counteract gravity. Mm-hmm. All those superheroes you wouldn't think would need that, except for Aquaman and Batman.
But so they're talking about he's recharged in the last 24 hours, so it's been a while since his last little blow up. Batman's having some coffee. Flash is playing some games. As they talk about trying to figure out this trigger, which makes sense. They do need to play with it. It's a new power. We probably need a whole issue devoted to it, which is fine. And actually, this whole issue, it goes pretty well, considering that's mainly what it's about. See anything else out of this issue?
I really assume he's playing video games, because they're in a geostationary orbit, so I don't know why you would need to control anything.
I don't know. Let's see. Okay, after a few times, he's come to enjoy the food. More talk about the food. He loves the food. He can taste it. And he doesn't have to taste every single nasty ingredient.
All the lack of love and care going into making his meal. Centrifugal chicken.
So we get to the recreation scene. We got some pretty decent art. Wonder Woman's face is off maybe a little bit here.
Still looks great.
But yeah, the page before, it was a great Wonder Woman face. As far as, it's probably the best face I've seen him draw in his entire run. It doesn't look bad at all.
No.
That's nothing I can say bad about it.
But you look at Batman before that, and he looks all dopey.
Yeah, he's smiling. I love that. He's got his cape off. He's staying a while. So they go through the testing. He's okay. Wonder Woman still draws blood, like you said. His reflexes are there. So yeah, we get the idea. We're just not a whole lot to say at this point. Then they get to where they're going to do the solar flare in the space station. I'm not sure if we said this in the synopsis. This doesn't seem like the greatest idea.
No.
I mean, Cyborg might be able to live in space, but he's got human flesh exposed. He would definitely be messed up in space. Batman would die.
Well, his electronics get all screwy.
Yeah. I don't know about Aquaman, if he could live in space. he's pretty powerful in this current setup.
Even out of water?
Yeah, even out of water.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Oh, wow. But Flash, he could probably vibrate his way down to the Earth and be fine. I don't know. Wonder Woman would be fine. I don't doubt that she'd be fine.
Oh, yeah. We'd have a crispy Batman, though.
But, yeah, then you got this Watchtower, which I'm sure is something you don't want to lose.
Well, what were they calling this? Like a jet exhaust tunnels?
Yeah.
It was like, we're doing test runs of jets in outer space where jets are absolutely necessary.
Right. And if it's a regular air-breathing jet, I'm not pretty sure it's not going to work either anyway.
I mean, I know there's other jets.
Must have some kind of oxidizer. Okay, so they're going to do this solar flare. I like the art here. The face looks great. I mean, he's even got a neck that looks like a neck.
Yeah.
I don't know. The art looks really good in a lot of this issue, actually.
Yeah, and I imagine, like, you know when you can see the heat off of the road, like the vapor?
Yeah.
I imagine that's what is being represented in the last two frames.
And maybe that's why his arms look so long in this next one.
it's refraction.
Right. The heat is going off. So yeah, when you set off a huge solar event inside of a space station, what you would think would happen pretty much happens. Just not nearly as bad as what I think would actually happen.
Well, Batman just got cancer.
He did. And an EMP went off. I'm glad Cyborg's doing okay. So it's a solar flare and an EMP.
Yeah, seriously. What? Man, Cyborg must have some crazy abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about him.
Yeah, me neither. I know his origin from New 52 because I read the first Justice League story and it pretty much covered that, but I don't know much else about him.
Oh yeah, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Aquaman's trying to cover up her eyes so she can't see naked Superman.
Just like Aquaman.
Look over here. I'm blind. In the Flashpoint universe, they were getting married, and then something happened, and they ended up being in a war that pretty much destroyed the world.
Oof.
Flash and Wonder Woman, then, as that is.
This is a weird circle of friends.
Yes. It's very sordid relationships we have in the Justice League as the Watchtower turns.
And then you got Batman on here. Hey, hey
he's
Clark.
Puts in his little hey, cheekies.
I'm Batman.
Never forget that I didn't kick your butt when I could that one time. Here at the Grand Tavern where Clark has a couple sips of alcohol and gets drunk immediately and begins to speak about all their plans a little bit too loud.
Okay, so the frame where it's Aquaman on the left and it's Superman on the right, who's in the Dick Tracy hat?
That's Flash, Barry Allen.
Okay. And his head looks smaller in other frames where he's wearing his costume.
Yeah, and Wonder Woman looks just like Lois here. She actually looks a lot more like Kingpin's girlfriend in Daredevil.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Superman's definitely got a type.
Who is also, as we talked about before, Superman's mom, Lara, and Man of Steel. Hashtag, it all comes back to Superman. Copyright, Michael Bailey.
They all have parental issues.
So anything else to come out of here except for, he just wants to eat a lot. He also mentions here they can square off with some super cosmic baddies.
This one frame looks like enjoy Ovaltine.
Yeah.
Rich chocolatey Ovaltine.
A crummy commercial. So we're back at the next morning when he's waking up and his bed's covered in fast food. See, this just isn't the Clark Kent I'm used to. I'm used to professional, clean Clark Kent, not guy that just leaves hamburgers and french fries all over the floor in his bed.
There's like four bags of fast food on the floor.
Yes.
Like, where did you even get all of that? I thought he was passed out at the bar. I can't imagine. It's like, what did you do last night when you were wandering around the streets?
Ketchup packets. Like you said, he's only got one sock on. So when he jumps out and he's falling. Yeah, for a second here, I thought he's about to splat. Especially when I read it the first time. He's got a suit on, his 5 o'clock shadow, and he's taken off outside to try to go after these three gunmen that he hears about on the radio. He's jumping now, and this is a good shot.
That one is.
He didn't.
I don't have anything really negative to say about that one at all.
No, and maybe the lack of detail on his face was a good thing, because you don't need it as much. You're more just looking at him jumping through the city. And you can see the chaos and mayhem in the second frame where you're looking down there. If you look towards the bottom, the gunman thing.
Well, and you know, the guy in the second to the last frame, he looks just like a guy from The Walking Dead.
Right here?
The comic. I'm trying to place where looks I saw
like,
it at.
Looks like Tyrese?
Maybe from the comic, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, their art doesn't look great. It's in the middle frame, but it's forgivable. Not every frame's going to be perfect. I don't know what this building is. There's this Lex Tech Energy building. It's just a building full of batteries and energy, and how do you fill up backpacks? They just walk in and they're filling up their backpacks? Or is that this tech that they have that it can do this? It can just suck energy, kind of like the parasite.
Yeah, I don't know. I was really curious what that's building up to.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it will, since he grabs them and takes them on to the Cyborg. But yeah, they fight here. Again, it always seems dumb to me whenever superheroes, or whenever you have these superheroes like Superman that are just so powerful, and then you got guys with guns that shoot fire or bullets, and they think they can hurt them. And especially when they think they kill them. Like, have you not lived here very long? Do you not know that you can't kill this guy? I mean, because they don't know he's actually hurt and that he could be damaged at this point, right?
Right.
Like, I just figure if Superman shows up, you don't shoot him. You start looking for hostages or large groups of people you can hurt or that you can cause something to almost fall on him so you can get away, because there's no hurting him. But no, they get lucky. He's not having an A-plus day today.
Screck.
Yeah. Lots of funny noises with the audio, but visual audio. Screck. Yep, so he fights him. He gets the weapons, as we talked about. He's flying off. We got the guy in the background taking a selfie of him, which is awesome, as everybody else is taking pictures. And then one of them captures a really good shot, which, again, J.R. Jr. has got it, this issue with the good art. And somebody frames a nice shot of his face bleeding.
Wow.
Back in the Daily Planet.
It seems like he's a lot more into it since he's writing it and penciling it.
That's what I was wondering. And I think I mentioned this last issue, because Batman was in the last issue also, after the Super Flare.
Yeah.
And, you know, Batman is, like, the biggest comic in the world. Now, other things sell more than it off and on, but consistently, it is the industry standard. Like, when you go look at how comics are selling and you go to the actual distributors to look at numbers, they don't show you numbers. They have a scale, and Batman is 100 every time because he's a standard. And then everything else is either above or below that based on how they sold against the standard. They don't tell you on this chart, like, who sold how many issues. They just show you Batman sold this much, Walking Dead sold this much more, or this much less.
Wow.
So I was thinking that he's kind of auditioning, hoping maybe he could get one of the Batman titles, which would not be a bad thing for somebody's career to get the highest selling.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great for him, but I thought his Batman in this kind of lacked.
Yeah. I could see that. In the last issue, I thought he did a pretty good Batman. This time, it wasn't as good.
Huh.
But the League, all in all, he did a pretty good job with the League. And like you said, since he wrote this one, maybe he put more into it. I don't know. Or he knew. Maybe he knew exactly what the writer wanted, since he was the writer.
Yeah. Well, this last page, I mean, just the pictures of him coming across the screens and how badly he's beat up, and then seeing Clark bandaged up with sunglasses on. I mean, it looks awesome. Other than the little Dippin' Charles thing you got going on.
Yeah.
Like the front on, like the face on frame, it looks really good.
It really does. Let's see. And at the end here, we've got, like we already talked about a minute ago, at some point Lois is going to reveal his identity. Maybe she figures it out here. I'm not sure what would drive her to do it. I don't think she would do that just for a story. But they're not together in this continuity. They haven't ever been. I think they've been on like a date before that's never seen in the comics. It's just talked about. And they're just good friends. So I wouldn't think that would happen for any reason. Unless she was made to do it. Like, I wouldn't think a jealousy reason, because she has another boyfriend.
Yeah, I was just confirming.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's where it goes from here. As far as this page goes, before we knew any of that, it's good. So,
that was awesome.
Favorite lines. There was a line I wanted to pull out of here.
What, cannoli?
Yes, the canola. It's like a long, slow build up to a primal scream, but without the scream. I was trying to imagine what he was trying to go for there. Okay, after a few times of being human, he means, I've come to enjoy it. Especially the food. That's my favorite. So the good, the bad, and the ugly this issue. The good, the art all around. I mean, for the first time I can say it in a John Romita book, the art all around was good.
Yeah.
The bad, there's not too much bad. There's some silly stuff here and there. The ugly, Batman pinching Superman's cheeks. Don't do that.
Yeah, it's kind of a twisted scene seeing Superman with all the fast food bags all over the place. It was kind of gross.
Yeah, that was That was pretty ugly, but not ugly in the art sense.
No, no, not art.
It's an ugly, ugly way to live there, Clark.
Slippery slope.
And the great. I like the bloodied image of him that was captured. That was great. The jumping scene we covered was great. I thought it was great that Wonder Woman moved Aquaman's hand like I'm a grown woman.
Yeah.
The plans they had to test out his flare, other than it being in the space station, I thought that was pretty great.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Flash playing video games. I don't know. Seeing the League and Superman together in his own title was a lot of fun. To be able to have it centered around him for me to read was good, because I want to see that. I'd love to see that if it happened at least once a year. Because, I mean, when you read it in Justice League, it's about the team, and then there's little standout moments here and there for people, but it's good to get Superman in the book with all these people. And it's, I can only remember it happening one other time in the Grant Morrison's run earlier in the New 52, but it's good to see that, really. It was a lot of fun.
This was a fun issue.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I've got a couple more segments left here. I got news, question of the show, and then two listener mails. Can you stay for that, or do you need to go?
I need to go ahead and go. I got to take the family to go eat something for lunch.
Awesome. Hey, well, thanks for being on the show again. And
I appreciate you having me.
Look forward to having you back. And we've both read a little bit of Watchmen. We're continuing on and
gonna
see how we do. We'll see how this goes as far as the reading it without notes.
Yeah, and, I mean, I'm curious what people's take is going
to
be.
Yeah, I'd like to get some feedback from everybody, just to know what you thought about it, and we can look at putting out even more podcasts if we don't have to do a lot of notes, because I have to take a lot of notes when I'm doing this. But anyways, thanks for being on Red Beard. Y'all have a good lunch.
Okay.
All right. See you, man.
It's
coming in on the RSS feed.
You are not alone.
All right, this is Mick, and I'm back, and we've got the news that caught my eye. And I've not got a lot to talk about this time. There has been so much stuff that has happened since I've recorded last. The only notes I even had back then was the Bat Bunny we saw in the solicits. Looked like Robo-Bat. Didn't know what was going on there, but if you're reading that, I'm sure it's interesting. I've read the first couple, and I may do little five-minute Mick podcasts, but trying to figure out what to name those. Quick Mix, 5 Minute Mick, I'm not sure. But anyways, that'll be a new thing. And it's just been so much. There's been the Batman v Superman trailer, which I'm super excited about. The teaser and then the trailer. I think they're calling it trailer 2, I'm not sure. But it's the 3 minute long one that you see all kinds of great stuff. I love that. Be sure to go check out Mosaics and the Man of Steel Mosaic podcast, where he covers Man of Steel Answers stuff. He breaks that down with another excellent breakdown like he did the first trailer. Suicide Squad trailer's out. That looks like a fun movie. I'm not too invested in any of those characters, so I'm just ready to have some fun and watch that. And so, let's see. Well, also, Superman has taken what looks to be a drastic change in as far as suit and the way that he goes about business since his identity is out in the newer Superman issues and titles. Not sure what to really say about that. I'm not. My first thought is I don't like it, but I don't know. I've got to read it first, and I've got to think, soak it in. I've read a couple of them, but I don't know, guys. I'm gonna hold off on what I had to say about that too much. So moving on to question of the show, what character in the DC universe would be a good match for Romita Jr.'s style? We saw he did a pretty good job with this issue, and then in Superman 40, and with all the different Justice League characters, who do you think his style would fit with most? It doesn't have to be any, you know, Justice League guys, but just anybody in DC universe. What would be a good match for him? If you would, write me back and let me know at mickginger0@gmail.com. And now it's time for some listener mail, tweets, and Facebook posts. This first one's from Mark Lax, the ever-faithful writer to the show. Hey, Mick, just listen to the show and have some thoughts. Seeing as this is the next one, or the next to last issue in John's run, he's talking about last issue, we can't comment on the story as a whole. Or can we? I don't think one or more issue will make a difference. There are some highlights in this arc, but mostly a lot of lows. Johns is a good writer, and Romita is a good artist, but their styles just didn't match up. I've been very critical of the art, and for good reason. Romita's style is unique, and I know he is known for his Spider-Man, but this style did not fit Superman or his cast. His portrayal of the suit was weak for me, and that says everything, considering Superman is known has a known classic look. I've never loved the armor look, but some artists have pulled it off, having it look like some kind of fabric. Romita made it look like it was put on in pieces like an actual suit of armor. I didn't like it. Also, as you have mentioned, his hands just look weird. His facial expressions are pretty weird as well. I can continue, but I think you get the gist. As for the story, John seemed to have good intentions for the main, but the main story fell flat. I didn't care for Ulysses in the beginning, and I didn't care for him at the end. If he thought he was creating a new villain in the guise of the Machinist, he established nothing. He was supposed to focus on the supporting cast, and until the end, that didn't really happen. As for Perry, he was always one of my favorites, but I did not really like his characterization in this story. He was very much like J. Jonah Jameson, and that is not who Perry is. The fact that he would use sensationalism to sell his paper, no, not Perry. As for the revelation about his identity to Jimmy, I didn't mind that so much. Clark Kent deserves a pal as much as Superman does, but I still wish it was Lois. Whether they end up together in the future, that remains to be seen. I just think that after being married for years in one continuity and having some kind of relationship for the last 75 years would make her a good confidant. We still have issue 39 and post-convergence to deal with, but the character as a whole just doesn't seem to be going in the right direction. Still, I love the character more than any other, and I will keep following his never-ending battle as long as possible. Until next time, your friend, Mark Lax. And Mark, I know when you wrote this, you hadn't seen the solicits for the new Superman, or even had a chance to read it like you have now. So, I'm sorry, you probably like it even less. But yeah, I agree with almost everything you said here. Yeah, the story as far as John's went, it just didn't quite hit a lot of the highs that I'm used to with John's work. I agree with you there. And no, Perry is not known for his sensationalism. He's truth and integrity, as we talked about before. I can see your point about Lois. I love the Lois and Clark relationship in post-crisis. And when it started out in New 52, I was kind of glad they weren't together. I would like to see them build that relationship, but unfortunately they haven't really went that direction. And it's fine. I hope they give Superman and Wonder Woman a decent relationship for a while, because that could be interesting. But eventually, at the end of the day, we know he's got to end up with Lois. So I don't know. Maybe they're waiting for sales to drop. I'm not sure what they're waiting for to move that direction. But I see what you're saying. Thanks, as always, for listening. And I hope you enjoyed some of that convergence stuff, man. The convergence post-crisis stuff with Lois and Clark from then, that was really good. And our next letter was from Mario Benessi. It says, "Hey, Mick, I'm really enjoying the show. I agree with you on the conclusion to The Men of Tomorrow. Johns usually brings his A-game, but it just didn't seem like he had tried his hardest in this story. Certainly not a bad tale by any means, but not something I'd give to someone trying to get into Superman." Good point. "Especially not with Romita Jr. on the art. However, I feel that Superman number 39 is where the true story is in Johns' brief run on Superman. Not only does it provide some downtime with Jimmy and Clark before another big event, but it also manages to humanize Superman even more. The scene with him taking the gunman down was just what I want out of a Superman book. The issue left a huge smile on my face. With DC focusing so much time pitting supes against villain after villain after villain, they seem to have forgotten that Superman is also Clark Kent and that he has a life outside of the suit. As for the art, Romita Jr. does better work than his offerings for his first DC arc. In fact, there are several panels in which Superman looks absolutely fantastic. The shot of Supes and Jimmy eating on the roof of the Daily Planet is stunning. Anyways, thanks for providing a quality show. I'm looking forward to future installments. Keep up the fantastic work. Mario Benessi." Thank you, Mario. I appreciate it, man. And it's been fun talking to you on Facebook and catching up on your show over there at Up, Up, and Away. But that's all for the fan feedback. I appreciate you guys writing in, letting me know what you think, and also giving me some feedback, and also letting me know what you thought about what I think. So that's kind of why I'm doing this, is to have a little bit of back and forth with people that are enjoying Superman as much as I am, even if it's not the best stories or art we've seen so far. Anyways, looking forward to some more stuff. As far as the future of the show, as far as doing the long, drawn-out Superman coverage on the current books, I'm going to have to reevaluate that as these new stories come out, because if I'm not enjoying them as much as I'm enjoying other books, I'm probably not going to dedicate as much time taking, you know, a lot of notes and all that junk, but that's going to depend on what you guys give me back as far as how it went without too many notes. Maybe I just need to make a small little skeleton of notes, but when I have anything written in front of me, my imagination kind of turns off. So if I do notes, I have to do a lot or none at all. So I've got to decide what to do about that. But later on this year, they're going to be bringing back Post-Crisis Superman and Lois Lane for some stories. I may cover that as the main feature on this show. I'm not exactly sure. I've read chapter one of Watchmen. I really enjoyed it so far. It's not what I expected at all. Never seeing the movie or reading the comics, the kind of detective feel to it and the mystery has got me intrigued. So I'm really excited to continue that. So I'm not really sure. Like I said about the quick mix stories, I'm trying to figure out a name for those. I don't want them to be like 5-minute mix because they might end up being 25 minutes, but I guess it doesn't matter. I'm looking forward to covering some more stuff and not doing near as much production on it, just like slapping on a intro music and an outro and just talking a few minutes about some comics I'm enjoying because I'm reading some other stuff that I really like right now or that's really got my attention and would like to share with everyone. So just continue to give me feedback. Appreciate Mark and Mario writing me and let me know what you think. We've got a Facebook page out there. It's Mix Comic Cast on Facebook, so you can look that up and send me your thoughts on what you think about future coverage. What books would you like to see the show cover? Anything like that, any kind of suggestions, I'd love to hear them. But anyways, I appreciate everybody listening. You can find Redbeard over at mickred.com. He has some more stuff out there. He does a lot of cool instructable stuff. He's always building something, so he's got a lot of fun stuff to look at out there. But I look forward to seeing you, and look forward to getting back on schedule. So look for me on the 15th, and see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Mix Super Comics Cast. If you would like to send feedback to the show, you can email me at mickginger0@gmail.com, and I'll read your mail on the show in the feedback section. You can find the show on Facebook, just search for Mix Comic Cast, or click the link in the show notes. Special thanks to Kevin MacLeod for allowing the show to use his song, Our Story Begins. This has been a MickRed Network production. Find this show and many others at MickRed.com.
What up, G?
Whoa, these headphones are loud.
So sorry. That's how I was earlier. I turned it up, wasn't thinking about it, did the echo.
Uh-huh.
Test call, about blew my ears out. Okay. There we go. So you can see the Kermic.
Is it Kermic?
Yeah, you can see the Kermic.
Kermit the Frog here.
We really have to do something with all your voices.
Yes.
So, you know, Mike Judge was just an IT guy.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Had no animation experience and pulled off all those voices. That was his real true talent.
But he then wasn't that, bad but now at he's drawing doing either. Live action stuff.
Right?
After
listening to that interview, I wanna start watching Silicon Valley.
Me too. That's another HBO one.
There's a lot of people in that.
Are there really?
Yeah, I saw a ton of comics, like stand up comics.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them from like the Nerdist community, and they were all on there.
Wow, that's cool. Is Eugene Merman on it?
Maybe at some point.
I think I saw he has a new thing on Netflix. I'm going to have to check it out.
It's pretty funny.
Is it? Good.
Yeah. He doesn't have a whole lot of stand-up stuff out there that you can go watch.
Yeah.
But everybody in the comic scene knows him. And he has a Eugene Merman comic festival. Or comedy festival. I'm like, what? Why is there not more stand-up? There's like two stand-ups.
All right. How close are you to your mic? I'm like 8-9 inches maybe.
Oh, I'm not that close. So should I be closer?
No, you sound great. I don't think I'm loud enough, so I need to get a little close. Get a little close.
It sounds great coming through my headphones.
Okay, cool. I've got my rig, you know, moved over in front of me, but it's not strong enough to hold the mic up. So I've got an iPad cable tied around the arm, and it's going up the top of the little hutch here. My other comic book box is resting on the other side of it.
True solid uses of Apple products.
Yes. Hey, it's holding. It won't charge a freaking iPad or iPhone, but it will hold up this mic stand. It's already busted. Maybe somebody else had some other designs for it before I got to it.